Oh, I thought you were remotely setting this up. Starts like this. The egg and the zroa are. Gal said he saw in the kitchen Shulchan Aruch, there's a minig to eat the egg at night and zroa during the day. The Hezrat, I believe, it would be based on the following, because the egg and the zroa are both zecher the korbanos, right? The zroa is zecher probably korban Pesach, the chagiga, one's korban Pesach. So the meat we would not have eat at night because we don't want to, because Chazal were very concerned of nirik achilas kodshim b'chutz. That's why we said yesterday the meat can't be, you can't eat roasted meat at night. That's a minhag, can't eat at night. Number two is you can't even say that this is, you can't say Pesach Zu. Right? We also we say Matzah Mor, you can't say Pesach Zu. Because Chazal didn't, that you cannot identify any meat as being Pesach the meat. In fact, there's even Shulchan Aruch even discusses when one buys the meat. You can't, I think you can't tell the butcher. You can't, Shulchan Aruch says it. That you can say, Yom Tishvin, my Pesach order, but I think that even you're not supposed to say, this is my Pesach steak, because it could be. I think there's a Shulchan Aruch says that. In any event, so the meat you could not eat at night, but since the egg is so far from being anything like a korban, it wouldn't be a problem to have the egg at night. So that's why, but during the daytime, you'd be able to have this raw. That's probably the basis of the minhag. Our minhag, growing up, and the German Jewish minhag is not to eat anything from the Seder plate. Certainly not at night. During the day, I don't know. Never came up. But, probably for that reason. Probably for that reason, because just wanted to make a chokah that we can't eat the kodesh mechutz. Two different kinds of zechel and mikdash. When we say zechel and mikdash kehillel, there are two kinds of zechel and mikdash in halacha. One is a form of avelos, and the other is a form of bikush. In Shas, you have two different sources for zechel, for any zechel and mikdash. One is the last omen of Abbas in Chesed Sabbatim. Alles if shalom rabeishim chasi tidbak l'shidchigi im loaz kirechi. That's a form of avelus, that there can be no simcha that is complete until we have Yerushalayim back and we settle the Eretz Yisrael. And then the Gemara quotes a pasuk, the lam big shu is Yerushalayim. The Gemara says malam is yitzarach bikush. So you see the two separate psukim. So one is to mute the simcha, and the other is to generate a sense of bikush, to remind us enough of Beis HaMikdash, so we'll reminisce on what we're missing. So the zecher of the Mikdash Kehillel is probably the second kind of zecher. It's not the Seder plate, Tzemachiyun. But the zecher of the Mikdash is probably a form of bikush. The lamech is eruch bikush. It's a mahalach in our thinking. That the very first step of, and probably the most powerful driver of geula is bikush for geula. Right, the Midrashim say when Yaakov Avinu skipped over Yerushalayim and made it to the north, so Rashi said, the Gemara says, "Kan yohim daite." When he realized that he used to get over Yerushalayim, "Kan yohim daite." When he had in mind to come back, because Rachel made him come back, there was a similar deris that what we're missing is the bikush that we doesn't cook inside of us enough to want to come back and have Korban Pesach. Thank you. No, anything else? Good. One only has to be choshesh that for stam yenim or for bishul akum if the goy has access. If the goy never has access, the goy has access. But if we have no indication that the goy accessed it, then there's no chashash. The goy will be able to get in. And what I do. I just joined up with Rabbi Willig's mechira. Is that if the non-Jew wants to get into the chametz, he has to contact us. But he can contact us. We give him, but we'll know. We don't give him the right to go into. I guess he could. It's his chametz. We give him full access to it. But we still need to help him get the access. So. So there's no chashash, because ownership in and of itself, I mean ownership of the chametz doesn't have anything to do with the kelim of the wine. He doesn't own the wine, doesn't own the kelim, so it doesn't create any chashash. Just for the bedika?
Yeah.
No, bedika. You can be a shliach to the bedika. But you're chayav in the bedika. Gemara says in Sochin that the sochin, the person who's renting, is chayav in the bedika because he has access.
But I'm not renting.
But the sochin is chayav because he has access. So if you have access, then you become chayav.
Okay, so I don't need it.
Yeah. You're chayav to the bedika because your father-in-law is handing it over to you and giving you access to your chayiv, then your chayiv and bedik. Kalim, whether one has to sell kalim or not, so we do not sell kalim, because kalim are, there's a reason to sell kalim. The only question is, what about the chametz that's balua inside kalim? So most folks can say there's no bal yirah, but you might say on chametz that's balua. That should be the end of the story. There are, There were gedolim who were machmir to sell the chametz habalua in kalim, but the practice that I would follow, and again when I say this, I'm really mitzarf only to Rabbi Willig's mechira, is that we don't sell the chametz habalua kalim for two reasons. One is because once you sell something that is really not sellable, then you create you pierce the veil of the sale. There's a legal term to pierce the veil, right? To have for example, corporate, sometimes a person hides his liability behind the corporation. Right? A person's liability is only as far as the corporation goes. Right? So that means that personal liability is limited, an LLC. Now, if a lawyer wants to get at a person's personal liability, he has to pierce the corporate veil. He has to show that the corporate veil is only a construct, and that there really is personal liability. Right? So, Rabbanim are very careful, as we discussed 2 days ago, not to do something which makes the sale into a joke, not to pierce the sale. So when you sell something which can't be sold, so that means that you're not really taking the sale seriously as a sale. So you start selling the balua inside the kelim. No one buys balua inside the kelim. So that's why, number one, it would be a chumrah to do it because rov poskim hold is not a problem. To have chametz bulu, it's nothing, it's not there. And it would be a chumrah she'asa de'kula, because it'll end up creating aspersions or casting aspersions on the entire sale. And to sell the kalim, which would be another way of being machmer, is also a chumrah she'asa de'kula, because number one, it's not necessary, and number two is that it would raise the question of whether they have to do tefillas kalim after Pesach. We saw that. I think the Chazanish did sell his kalim, and I think he also did tefillas kalim after Pesach. But Chazanish probably lived with two or three kalim, and didn't lose much time from writing his farm from doing tefillas kalim. But for us, it would be. The only hesitation I have altogether is that Rav Henkins itself, in his svarim, he does advocate selling the kalim. Rav Henkin was one of the Gedolei Poskim in America. I said, I don't understand it. That's the only reason why I have, why I would discuss it and be very hesitant about criticizing the approach.
In front of whom do you have to ask permission to lean? Like you said in the Gemara that you have to.
Yeah. I think we pass only in front of a Rebbe Muvog. I think we assume that in front of one's father gives permission. I don't think we specifically ask. Usually because the father wants to mechanech his children in order to lean. So I think that our general practice is not to ask for mechila, I guess.
So chametz that we're selling, we're keeping in the dorm room, so the guy's not going to have access. It's like, should we give the keys to our plow?
Why shouldn't he? Why doesn't he have access?
Because there are only two.
Security has a key.
It's like he would go to.
Yeah. If he wants to get to your chametz, you could work it out for him. You'd have to call, was it 200, 200? You'd have to call and say that. And if security won't do that, then you have to call Roy Blau to get access. Or you have to work it out, yeah. But the assumption is, we can ask for my blouse facility, but we're assuming that we will be able to get access for the guy. If I buy something, it doesn't mean I get access right. If I buy something even in Target, so it doesn't mean I can walk in the back, pick up my own computer, I have to wait, they bring it to me. But I say, just because I have legal title, so that's maybe I don't have legal title yet until they give it to me. But even if I would purchase something, it doesn't mean that I right away have to have the ability to get it, but it doesn't mean I have to be able to get it in the way that I want to get it.
This one we've already said before about the kalim and making the light the U.S. chometz. Does that mean one shouldn't really sell his dorm room unless he really has like mamish chometz? Meaning, if one cleans his dorm room and disposes of all chometz gemara,
right?
But under chashash that maybe I missed something.
I wouldn't say shouldn't. It's an easy fail-safe approach to sell any chometz one might have.
What is that? Meaning,
because I have nothing. I don't know what I'm selling.
I'm not actually selling anything. It's just, oh, there might be something.
There's a chometz there.
There.
I don't know. Our general practice is to sell in case I do have something there. In case my beetle isn't, I would not veer away from the general practice.
So why don't you sell it? How do you live in your house?
No, but you're only selling the chametz. You're not selling your house. Kivi is leasing his whole apartment. He's not going to be there. He doesn't want to do bedika. All right. So in order to be released of the chiv bedika, he subleases the whole house. But whoever does bedika, the normal thing is you do bedika in your house, and you sell the chametz in your house, and you sublease the cabinets in which the chametz is there. Why do we sublease the cabinets? Because we want to be able to do a kinyan chotzer and a kinyan agav also. But we don't. And halach is you have to have your chametz that you have in the house. You have to have a mechitza between you and the chametz. So the mechitza could be halach and mechitza. It could be 10 tzvachim. Could be that's the way a cabinet works. But you're only selling the chametz itself. You're not selling the house. So Kiv will be limited. He can't go into his apartment. He can go in to get something. Because if I would sublease a house from somebody, so I assume that if the owner wants to come and get something, it wouldn't mind. Let's say I go on vacation and I rent a house from somebody. So I assume that if the owner wants to, he forgot something in the closet, he'd come and get it, I won't mind. But if the owner wants to come and work, I would mind. I want to go to relax. If the owner wants to come and stay one night, I wouldn't mind. Right, so that's why I would, if a person subleases the house, I would say, to rent and get something, fine. But then to spend time, that would not be appropriate. Yeah.
Let's say somebody who's not good to
nutty.
Turn to deny kibbutz, and then is he that Enoch Kalim that we're
I don't know. I do not know that much about the minhag of not eating kibbutz, so I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I get the impression that they would eat up kale, but I'm not sure.
What exactly is the function of the songs we sing during Yirtza? There's like Pesach and Miros, or like is there
the end? So I thought that Nirtza Bechlal, what is Nirtza? Nirtza means it should be accepted. So they're different in the Rishonim. There are even those who don't include Nirtza as a separate. They say Halal Nirtza is one. The more Rishonim say that Nirtza is a separate category in itself. I thought that Nirtza is Nirtza is a phrase that the Torah uses when it comes to Kapara. The Nirtza lo. By korbanos, korbanos have to be l'ritzoi. There's a korban has to be accepted by the Rosh Hashanah. So nirtza is to be accepted. So nirtza, I believe, is the end of the Seder when we are turned to the Rosh Hashanah and ask him to accept the Seder. Divrei ritzoi. Mara says that there's certain mitzvahs that have ritzoi. For example, Tosfos says that Lulav and Esrei have ritzui. Now, there's most mitzvahs, we don't focus on the mitzvah being accepted. We focus on the mitzvah, we do the mitzvah, right? We don't have a sense of kabbalah on mitzvah. But certain mitzvahs, Chazal taught us that there's a notion of kabbalah, of asking the Baruch Hu to receive the mitzvah. Tefillin, tzitzis. So, whenever a person does a mitzvah, it's a shasa kosher to mispal for once. But we don't, at the end of taking off a tefillin, we don't say, here it's unashmosh from a kabbal this mitzvah. When it comes to lulav and esrog, so there Tosva says, there's a din of ritzui. The fact that we take the lulav and esrog and mispal with lulav and esrog, have in our halal. So it means that once we daven with it, so davening has an idea, we want our tefillin to be accepted. So the mitzvah has, it's called Divrei Ritzui. Tosfos is a nafkamina on the bottom of Sukkot, in the Testament of Aleph. Tosfos is a nafkamina by mitzvah sheish ben Ritzui. So I thought that since that what Chazal are saying with respect to the Leil Seder is that the Sipri Tzitzis is also Divrei Ritzui. There's dritzik to it. So the closest model we have is karbonos. Now, when it comes to karbonos, we hope because Baruch Hu will accept the korban and give us kapara. Right now, so when it comes to regular karbonos, we do smicha. During smicha, we do our vidui, and then we bring the korban, and we hope that we've done it the way that's rotzi. What about when we bring a korban shlomim, korban toda? So when we bring a korban toda, we presume that we do our smicha, and during the smicha, we give haidah that we got better, that we got free, whatever it is. Shlomim, as I found in Rechav Yitzchayim son-in-law, wrote a sefer on korbanos. So in that sefer, he writes that by shlomim, it's the same thing. Smicha, when it says divrei shevach v'idaya, Tekadosh Baruch Hu. So l'chora, korban Pesach is the same thing. Korban Pesach, we say Hallel during the bringing the korban. So that means that our korban Pesach is a korban like the korban Toida. That's a discussion of it. It makes a lot of sense. Something along those lines. It's a korban shalomim. So the korban Pesach, the divrei, the equivalent of what one says over the korban is that one says divrei shevach v'idaya. One says Hallel. All right. And then, once he brought the korban, we hope Kadosh Baruch Hu will accept. What does it mean to accept divrei shevach v'idaya? To accept divrei, this is a kash you have to ask by shlomim. That the Gemara refers to the ritzi of shlomim. I don't know the makor right now in front of me, but the Gemara has a reference to ritzi with respect to shlomim. So apparently, there is a concept that when I give shevach to Kadosh Baruch Hu, so I'm hoping he will be makabel the shevach. Right? Now, sometimes it happens in human relationships. A person wants to, I want to express yedidus to somebody, so I give him a gift. Right? It's a common human thing to do. Now, let's say the person doesn't accept the gift, so that's a rejection of my yedidus. That's upsetting. Right? You have it in Gemara Kiddushin. Gemara says that a person can makadish a woman with the good feelings you get by the chosin's gift to the kala. So the chosin can receive a gift from the kala, and it's giving the kala the good feelings that one gets when one receives a gift. Right? Like a king. A king, when I give a king a gift and he receives the gift and he hangs the gift up. So he's giving me a matana. I'm the one who's receiving. I'm giving him a gift. The fact that he receives the gift and he receives it ba'ayin tov and hangs it up, he's doing me a tov. So when I give a gift to Ribbono Shel Olam, if the Ribbono Shel Olam accepts the gift, then that means that I have been successful in giving shevach to Kadosh Baruch Hu. If he doesn't accept the gift, so then my shevach gets rejected. So at the end of so even a korban Pesach has a concept of being of wanting it to be rotzi to the rosh. So at the end of the seder, I think we take a moment that also called nirtza. We take a moment out to hope that the Baruch Hu will accept our korban. That's probably what is caught by the chasal sidur pesach kilchose. Was chasal? We've completed the hilchos pesach. Chasal in Aramaic means to have grown. I think that's what it means. Chasal sidur pesach. We hope we've grown through the seder. Kichol mishpatei chukosei. Kasher zachino. No, it's a lesson. The sadr also kei nizke lasosa. So that's our tefillah that the Kadosh Baruch Hu should be mekabel our leil seder. It means l'chora that our mispalo Kadosh Baruch Hu should accept the shevach that we gave, And maybe, I have to think about this, maybe that he'll accept our bikush, our pining for geula. According to many of the svarim, I think the Maharal is one of the first ones who pointed this out, that the halal, at the second half of the halal, is a bikush to be able to say the halal for the geula sidulavo. So nirtza, halal nirtza. So again, the different ways of looking at it. Either it means that the second half of the halal is a bikush for geula, and we're hoping a kushbaruch will makabel it, or it means that our leil seder should be accepted by kushbaruch. Both in terms of he should be happy with the way that we expressed our shevach v'yodai. And sometimes you want to be mechabed somebody, so you hope that they're happy with the way you mechabed them. And you get frustrated if they're not happy with the way you mechabed them. Right? So that means, so hoping that Shemaruch will accept that we said good divrei shevach v'yodaya, that we did our best. He'll see we did our best. Laharois, lirois, whatever it is, to say halal. And we hope he's mechabel it. Now being mechabel it means two things. Means that we were successful in giving Shevach. It's meaningful, it was heartfelt, the Baruch was happy with it. And it could mean that he's Mekabel our pining for the Gula Shleim. Right, so at the end of the Seder, it says, that's being Mespalel for the upcoming Gula. So that's, I think, where the. Now, so what about. Why do we say these? So that's, I think, the position of Nirtza. The position of Nirtza is either the very end of the Halal, or the Shvech HaMoscha, or the Chasal Seder Pesach, the Lashon HaBa B'Yerushalayim. The Zemiris at the end, the Piyutim at the end, so I'm not sure, but it would seem to me that the Piyutim at the end are the reflective moments of Nirtza. Because when does one say Putim and Zmiris? When one's relaxed, one's thinking. So we're sort of celebrating the evening. Say Zmiris Friday night. So you're celebrating the Shabbos. So here we finish the Seder, then all the mitzvahs, and now we're celebrating the fact that we did the Seder. So that's when we are reflecting on what we did do, what we would have wanted to do better, what we would want lasad lovei, and part of the reflecting is hoping Kadosh Baruch Hu was mekabel. So I think that's what those piyutim accomplish. Echad miyadeya. What's the pshat echad miyadeya? Lani is daiti. Echad miyadeya is finished. What's the last of the echad miyadeya? 13, right? So according to most Rishonim, there are 14 steps to the Seder. Kaddish Urchatz, the 14 of them. According to most Rishonim. It's not so clear because some Motzi Matzah, one or two. So I thought the Pshat Nechmi Yedeya is that we're saying we're ready for another Seder. Now we're stopping at 14. 14, what's 14 Mi Yedeya? 14 is the Leil Seder. The 14 parts of the Seder. That was the purpose of the Piyut. The purpose of the Piyut was that we're like in the Adon Olam. The end of davening, we're saying, we could go through another Seder. We could begin all over again now. That's where it was coming from. Yeah,
two things. One, is there anything in Nazi Matzah from the beginning of Magi to the end? Anything that's not different Torah?
There's anything, not being mapsic, with anything which is not related to Sibritin's drum, because over, yeah. Now, practically speaking, I don't think we. I think that the concern of making the evening an overall evening of learning, and so we don't practice to become very. To be very makpid on it. But I think one should be very careful not to have conversations that go all over the place. And I think one should always try to bring back the conversation. If the conversation veers away to other forms of geula, to different kinds of things, so then that's still valuable. But if mamish goes off, so he also looked around the table, see he was there, and make sure that that the standards you're setting fit. But as much as possible, they're all trying to bring the conversation back, even in the broadest terms of Geula and Yetzias Mitzrayim and of Emunah. Again, it's very, very broad, because any Inyan Emunah also applies to the evening.
And is it mutter to take out of the fridge or freezer a Yom Tov Rishon for something to thaw for Yom Tov Sheni?
If it won't thaw by the time Yom Tov Rishon is over and become edible, so I don't think so. I think that would be a chana. If you go to the freezer, the person's rearranging the freezer and takes it all out, puts everything back except for one thing. So that would not be a problem, I think. But the davka takes something out, I think that is a problem.
Shabbat says that one is chayav to stay up until he falls asleep burning. Is that something
we should be able to do? Within the bounds of making communion next morning. Functioning. Right. In other words, to say yes, we'll serve Abseda. I think one should stay up till one. Either has to go to sleep. Right. There is an extra push on Leil Seder. That's a your mind is working and you're thinking. Your mind's still working, and you can still say, learn more of the halachas of Pesach, or do more, say read another essay, another sicha, or say Shira Shirim, yeah. Till one either has to go to sleep because one's mind is not working, or until one's not going to be able to daven properly in the morning. The assumption is that one's going to. Chazal wouldn't say, Kol Amar Beizim Shubach, and then to sleep for Minyan. A Minyan of Halal, not Kirza Terah. So that's all we take into judgment. Yeah.
A lot of things. So when the children ask,
what do we say?
It's
a problem. It's a big problem. So one, the two approaches. One is to make it up, right? To find all sorts of revulsive and karpas and in fact, in the siach hagrid, the haggadah that Rabbi Lichtenstein of Yitzchak Lichtenstein put out with his grandfather's ha'oris. So then he quotes the Rav saying B'shem Rav Moshe that it is advisable to make up one's own peculiarities so people will ask. In other words, the classic ones are the carpus or the bringing the table backwards and forwards. Karof, Karon. But Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said apparently to do other things also, to wear a strange hat or something. To wear he suggests the kittel, I think so, yeah. That Kadesh Shoti the Tinoko. So what happens after that? So then I said, good, yes. Now so could be that's a terrace. It could be tell the child, I wanted to it's very important for me to keep you awake. And if I will be doing strange things tonight, keep you aware. I have a mitzvah, v'gadol b'mincha. So then they say, well, and v'gadol b'mincha is so important. Because normally I would say, all right, I'll try to catch you when you're ready to listen. Tonight, I have a mitzvah to make you teachable tonight. So I'm going to see what I can do. So that could be the Kadesh al Tinokos. In other words, I'm doing different things. Or the answer is you try to find some dray, some angle. The Nias Daiti, to me, the approach in my mind that makes the most sense is that Kidei Shish Alua Tinokos, my father had a Gvalda Gvord. My father's in my favorite Oris, my father made, he said that the reason why so you find throughout the evening that questions are very, very important. That the Rav pointed out. That's what Rav Chaim said. That Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim is like Dei She'elot Tshuva. Right? Like the Rosh writes, that the mitzvah of sefer is only when the child asks. If the child doesn't ask, there's no mitzvah of sefer. So kidei shishal tinoko, it's not style. According to Rosh, it's not something again to keep a kid away. It's that that's the only way of a kind of mitzvah deraisa of the gadol mincha. So that could also be the answer. So kidei shishal tinoko, so if you miss it tonight, we got to do this together. You have to ask Pesach the questions, and I have to give you a good answer. And I have to give the incentives to ask, and the incentives to stay awake. So that could be an important conversation that Chazal wanted to happen. I need you to ask questions. But the Reb Chaim pointed out that we have that throughout the Seder, we have the Manishtan is obvious. Reb Gamliel's formulation is Matz al Shumba. Right? It's not. We're so used to it, we don't realize it's not normal, right? You normally say Matzazu Shona Wayachlam. You don't say Matzazu Al Shumba, but it's supposed to be the Sheilu Tshuva. Even the Dayenu, Kama Malei Soivos. Right? Even the Echad Miyadeya at the end. It's all Al Yidei She'elu Tshuva. So why is it so important? Teach me Al Yidei She'elu Tshuva. So one possibility is that Chazal established the idea of it, the expression of a Koras HaTov should always involve more people. That's a Mahalach when it's the whole Shir. Right? You begin the Shir with the Korban Todah, HaMikdover, the Korban Todah. Avigdor says, why is the korban the biggest possible korban that there is? And you'll eat it in the least possible time. Avigdor says, because the korban Torah, because when you're giving thanks, you have to involve people. Right? Yodu l'shem chazdoi, v'yisap v'niflos v'niyodom. Part of giving a daughter to Kadosh Baruch Hu was sharing with people. The idea of a kiddush, it's not stuff that gives you a good time. The idea of a kiddush is that part of the way that we express HaKoras HaTov Zeron Shem was by involving people. So you have the Korban Torahs like that. David HaMelech in the Perek of Hoidu, I think it's Kufov, Kufzayin, Odu L'Shem Chazdai, Nikolos V'Yodam. You have the idea of a Suda Seidoya. The Birchas HaGoymel, public and responsive. There's no other bracha that's responsive. Except for Bris Milah. Birchas HaGoymel has to be b'fnei Asara. So the Birchas need not be b'fnei Asara. Birchas HaGoymel has to be b'fnei Asara. So we have this Mahalach in Yadus, in Torah, that HaKoras HaTov is a value to expressing HaKoras HaTov publicly. It's part of the expression. So it could be that Al Yidei Sheilat Shuvah means the ideal Seder has to have somebody else there. Halach is, if no one else is there, you do it anyways. And Vimhoyam Tzorach Las Ishini Belayla Zeh Kedei Shirabonu Mishalu Yomer Manishtana. Even the Manishtana is supposed to come as a result of piquing the curiosity. So my father used to say that one of the expressions of freedom is to be able to ask questions. An Eved is not supposed to ask questions. Eved is supposed to do, right? An Eved asks, why are we doing this? That's chutzpah. You think that you think you can even come to understand why we're doing this? Right? He wants to say, Eved says, maybe we could do a little bit faster, a little bit better. That's chutzpah, to think that he has an insight to knowing why I'm doing things. Right? The job of the Eved is just to do stuff. Get it done. So that's what the terms of Kisha Alpha Bincha, the fact that I'm willing to even ask a kasha, that's already chayrus. The most elemental question. So one of the expressions of being free is I'm able to think about things, ponder things, raise questions, improve things. That's why it's so important to have Sheilu Tshuva. It's an expression of Cheirus. I thought there could be another idea. There's another underlying theme, another tool that we have Leil Seder, and that's Talmud Torah. It's a night of learning. How do you say it's a night of learning? because the Mishnah says the Kan Doresh after the Dorshim, and we learn the Parsha of Arami Obed Ovi. And the Parsha is written in a way of limud. It's not written in a narrative. It's a way of pasuk. What can we learn from this pasuk? So that's the Rav used to point out as well. That's the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. In fact, according to Rekeach, when we say Kenege Baruch Hamochim Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenosan Torah L'Ama Yisrael, Kenegin Arba Bonim Dibra Torah. So Rekeach says that's a special Birchas HaTorah for Leil Seder. And we have, sometimes we have a special Birchas HaTorah. You get an Aliyah. So you say, all of a sudden you say, he said Birchas HaTorah in the morning. Why are you saying it again now? Chazal Masakein, because this is a new form of Talmud Torah B'tzibur, Talmud Torah Min HaKlaf B'tzibur. So therefore, it deserves its own separate Birchas HaTorah. So the Rekeach said, that's Peshad. Why all of a sudden, in the middle of the Seder, it's right before the Seder that begins with Mechila Oivdei Elohim Hayu Oivdei Elohim Achem Yoviseinu. Right? We're not yet ready. Mamash, we have still to do Baruch Shem Eftachosa, Yisha Omda, Tzei Elmad. But we're getting close to starting the Iker Sipur. So we have a special Birchas HaTorah. And in fact, Kineged Arba Bonim Dibra Torah, what's the point of mentioning Leil Seder? So apparently the idea is that that's introducing the idea that the mitzvah of Sipur is each to teach each child, each one on its own terms. I forget to point this out. In the Brisker Agada, I don't think it's attributed to which one of the family pointed this out, but they suggested to think about this, that Torah is unique in that that every other area of study has different texts for different levels of maturity, different levels of advancement, right? Every other, you know, your physics book of high school is vastly different than your physics book of a physics major, of a postgraduate, right? Your history as a kid, you have social studies books, and it's vastly different than a history text or than a advanced history. It's different in terms of the way that the text, the narrative, the font, the pictures, everything's different. Right? But when a child learns Bereishis, they learn the exact same text as their great-grandfather when he's being my receptor. So apparently, you have to think about this. He says that there's no other study where the beginner and the advanced learn the exact same text. It's not reduced in any way. So that's one of the great gifts of the Baruch Hu placed in the Torah. That the Torah could be made meaningful to a child, and it could be meaningful in the deepest form of study. And we see that in addition to Chumash, obviously in Gemara, you see that mastery when it comes to the Rambam. But a person can read the Rambam Bekiyas and just gain lots and lots and lots of knowledge, and a person can stop and try to figure out why the Rambam said in a certain way, why he put halachas in a certain order, why he organized it in a way. The Rambam was able in his writings also, as one of the magnificent aspects when you see the glaring genius of the Rambam, he was able to write such a sefer. So when we say Baruch Hamokim Kenegid Arba Bonim Dibra Torah, we're thanking the Ribbono Shel Olam for such a gift. Now, so what's the purpose of Sheilu Tshuva? So I thought the Rambam writes Hilchos Talmud Torah Kishem Shechayev. Kishem Shechayev Lulamedes Beno, Kahu Chayev Lulamedes Ben Beno. Shenem Reidatim Lulamedes Benecha. I was having the community when grandparents don't want to help with tuition. They say, we've done. We pay tuition for all the kids. So it's not true. The Rambam says, you have grandchildren as well. The Lamb is called Tandina Filu. So tuition doesn't get its chayv to take care of the grandchildren as well when it comes to tuition. Veloi benoi uven benoi belvad ela mitzvah al kol chocham v'chocham yisrael lelamed es kol talmidim. Was mechuyev to teach talmidim even if they're not his sons. How do they become talmidim? Mechuyev to teach a talmid. When does the chiyuv begin? Orientation. The first registration. The registration. But when? Let's try mechuyev. And Ben, I understand you. What a Ben is. You mechuyev to teach a talmid. So when is? That's what I thought. Right? I thought that that pshat is, the Gemara says that a person becomes a Talmud once they've learned one thing from Rebbe. So I'm wondering if that's the pshat, that the question is what creates, is the initial way in which a person becomes a Talmud. En hachanami, so a person is mechuyav, once he has a Talmud, then, all right, he's after the first year, second year, third year, midterms, whatever, at some point a person is called a Talmud. So then mechuyev, just like when it's mechuyev teach when there's children. So Talmidim kuyim bonim. But how does it start? So you could say, first year is voluntary. That doesn't zechiv. But I was wondering whether the person becomes a Talmud and when it's mechuyev to respond when they ask a certain shayla, right? Shloshim kainim achag, shoylim medorshin. What's shoylim medorshin? So, some say it's just dorshin. Some say no. Shoylim means that's what makes, at this point in time, Pesach becomes the core curriculum, the preferred curriculum. So that means, so it could mean that if I have a Talmud, that's where they run, so they have two Talmudim. One Talmud says ksuvus, ksuvus, ksuvus. The other Talmud says, no, it's a great time for Pesach. So then the Talmud says Pesach gets precedence. That's Shoel Kinyan. That's a Gemara in Hashoya. But let's say he's not a Talmud. Let's say a visitor comes to Shir and wants to Hilchos Pesach. So it could also be he's Shoel Kinyan. So I'm wondering whether it's the question which is the first. It's the interest in learning. So the interest in learning can be expressed by signing up for the shir. It can be expressed by coming to shir. It can be asking a question. But the interest in being a Talmud already creates the chiyuv. So that's the case. That's what I was wondering. Maybe that's pshat kedei sheyish alu atinokos. It means that that Talmud Torah takes place within the context of a relationship. That's the way it is. You see this, that's the din. Talmud Torah, by definition, once two people are learning together, so one becomes a Talmud of the other, b'meila, one is mechuyev to teach the Talmud. You know, all the relationships, whether it's the relationship of Kovan a Talmud l'Rav, whether the relationship of Mikol Melamdai Yiskalti, what's the chiyuv of the Rebbe to give Kovan to a Talmud, chiyuv of a Rebbe to respond to the Talmud. So you see that there's a relationship which is part of the mitzvah Talmud Torah. Person has a physics Rebbe. Right? So the physics Rebbe is not mechuyev to teach him physics beyond his contractual obligation towards the college. Right? The Talmud does not have any specific chiyuv of Talmud of Kovod. Whatever they has to give cover to another human being, has to give cover to an older human being, has to give cover to a person who's helped them out, has taught them something. But there's no new din of being mechabed the physics person, right? So that's how you see the difference between, I don't think the physics professor has a chiyuv to give kavod to his talmud. Right? Again, beyond the confines of good, healthy human relations. Right? So you see the Talmud Torah takes place, the mitzvah Talmud Torah creates halachic relationships. Hilchos Talmud Torah, yesh mechlolin shtei mitzvahs. Lilmod Torah, lechabet melamdel v'yodel. In fact, before the Rambam records the mitzvah of learning Torah, the Rambam records the mitzvah of teaching Torah. The first halach is Noshim Avodim Tana Patur Mi Talmud Torah. I will koton Ovim Chayim Lilamdei Torah. Right? What happened? It's only in halacha Yud Gimel where the Rambam writes mitzvah. That's Yud Gimel, no? Ches, call ish miyisrael chayav ben talmud Torah, ben oni ben osher ben. That should be the first halacha. The first halacha is teaching. So one of my rabbis, Rav Nachman Rabinovich, wrote the Epshuta. He writes because the Rambam is going keseder. How does it work? How does the system work? The system works by being taught Torah. The first thing which happens in your career of talmud Torah is being taught Torah. That's why the Rambam put it first. One could suggest that the Rambam is pointing out that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah takes place within a context, within a relationship, and therefore the Rambam first records the relationship of Melamdel V'Yodel. Right? But that's the way, those are the facts. That's the way Talmud Torah works. So Talmud Torah, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is always embedded within halacha of certain that defines the relationships as well. So that's what I was wondering, whether part of the Leil Seder has to be forging that relationship, and that relationship is forged by questions. Even say a little bit further. See, what's pshat in asking a question of somebody else? When you ask a question of somebody else, that's when you create a certain degree of hachna, a certain degree of humbling. The asking of the question is an act of humbling, let's say. So when I ask my Rebbe a question, so that's an act of saying, I think that you have been able to figure something else out that I haven't figured out. Explain this to me. Right? So that the question creates that relationship of Rebbe and Talmud. So that's what I was wondering, whether that's part of the Leil Seder. And that's the real answer to Kidei Shishalu Atinokos. So number one, it could be Kidei Shishalu Atinokos could simply be that it's a gimmick, it's a tool, it's there to create a better format for teaching and for learning, and that could be the answer. Could be that it's there because I want to be mekayim the mitzvah, or even if you don't want to be a stickler for the key mitzvah per se, but I want to be able to successfully teach, and the way in which I will teach someone most successfully is if I've created bikush within them to understand, and that could be a conversation. That's a good answer. Kidei Shalosh Tinokos. I want it tonight. We're focusing on Yoni Emuna. Teaching Emuna is not like teaching halacha. Teaching Emuna means every kid is different, every person is different, they have their own questions, their own experiences. So I need to hear what's on your mind when it comes to Yoni Emuna. Okay, if I begin to pontificate about Kadosh Baruch Hu being the Bar Yoilam, Kadosh Baruch Hu being the Goyal, might not be what's going to resonate in your heart and make you a better ma'amid. So when it comes to figuring out how to learn pshat and chumash, how to learn pshat and halacha, so I don't know if I have to work hard. I have to work hard to make sure that a talmid understands and appreciates and enjoys. But I don't know if I'm working to make sure that the child that it resonates. But when it comes to emuna, Somebody has their own sveikas. They don't know kashas. They've seen their own issues. That, you know, my sveik is not the same as your sveikas. And the things that I've seen are the same as you've seen. And one person who's seen Agili Elikis doesn't need to have it proven to him anymore. He lived through it. And he needs to understand other things in Ribbono Shel Olam. So when it comes to Amuna, if there aren't questions, so you may miss what you have to do. So that's a conversation. The kid asks a question. You say, good, I'm glad you asked the question. Why? Because questions are very important. That's a conversation. So even though I don't have a good answer for you, I'm very kiddle. Okay? But I got you to ask, and now I've become something very important, and now I want you to understand that your questions, your sveikas, are of extreme importance to us. And then, that's one mahalach. The other mahalach is that the fact that a child's asking a question, that means he's saying to his father, there's something that you can explain to me, something you can teach me. That's a huge accomplishment. Right? Something that I often think that in our yeshiva included, in more litvish yeshivas, so there isn't, amongst the more litvish Talmid Chachamim, they banter much less in Divrei Torah. Because if you're sitting at a table of litvish or yeshivas at a wedding, they won't banter in Torah too much. And at lunch, they don't speak about Torah too much. And if you're by, let's say, Yerushalmis, and that's, then they'll, that's what they'll banter, that's what they'll talk about, right? So, and I think the reason is because at least for Shiva, so his thinking is, you know, what's there worth to say? What's worth talking about? And I'm gonna work on a Rambam right now, and my Rambam, I've only had three kashas, and three tirutzim. I have all these assumptions that I'm making, so you're not interested in the way I figured it out. So what's on my mind is hard to shmuz with. Yerushalmis are much more playful. They kasha teretz makes doesn't make sense. It's not good. So the less the litvaks are always, if I'm not sure of it, he's going to judge me based on what I'm saying. If I think it's stupid, I'm not going to say it. So when it comes to the when it comes to these conversations, the person's mind that he's thinking, what is it? What's worthwhile choosing about? Masha'ina came if you sit down and you ask a person what he's thinking about. Right? You ask a person what he's working on. You ask a person on what his drush is going to be about. So then already you're already being a makabel. You're already saying there's something that is worthwhile for me to hear from you. But that's an important part of all human conversations. When you ask somebody a question of what they're doing, not like in New York with how you doing? It's a totally meaningless phrase, right? But if you're really concerned about somebody else, so either you're asking them because you want to know something about them that's important to you, you want to be able to help them, or you want to learn from them. That creates a very important moment. So when a child turns to a parent and says, "Can you have a? This is bothering me." What's the child saying? Right? The child is saying, "You can teach me something. You can help me figure something out." That's a huge. That's a moment that's very great, and that makes the child a makabel. It's open to hearing something. So Kidei Shishal Tinokos is something very profound, because the kid may be asking, why are you wearing a funny hat? The kid may be asking, why are you wearing a kittel? Why did we move the hill backwards? And you don't really have a good answer for them. But once they ask the question, that means that the kid's saying, I think you can explain something to me. And that's also a conversation. That means that opens up a person to be able to learn from somebody else. So that's a huge accomplishment.
So,
So shaving and getting a haircut in Chol HaMoed is not mitam the avelus, right? That's mitam that the Gemara in the beginning of the third paragraph of Moed Kodin Elam Gachon says that in order that should actually consul la moed menuvolim. In other words, we shouldn't come into Yom Tov menuvol, because what happened there of Yom Tovs, it sounds so funny, but it's so real. And a person could say, and a person shaves every single day because he's got to go to work. But it comes Friday, and he's so busy. And he has so many things to take care of. And he's only going to see the guys in shul jobs anyways. So he doesn't really shave today. Right? So comes Yom Tov, such a crazy air of Yom Tov. And over the course of Yom Tov, no, it'll be the family, it'll be friends in shul. So it's so possible that a person would say an air of Yom Tov, you know what, I'll take care of the Chol HaMoed, right? So Chazal were so understanding that people worked that they said, no, you can't do the Chol HaMoed, right? It's a gzeira. So that we right? So that's the basis for the Easter of shaving, getting haircuts on Chol HaMoed, right? And then there's a whole Torah of whether once it's also does become an Easter Malach as well, and then there's the whole discussion whether Bizmaneinu Anu is the since we shave every day, does that Gezeres Chazal apply? Everybody should have a long tshuva on it. So that's all. Part of one issue, but that's not Lanias Daiti. That is unrelated to the Avelus after Sfira. I think two separate things. Avelus after Sfira. I don't think that Chazal, even though the numbers don't work out exactly, the 33 days to keep it, but I don't think Chazal imposed Avelus onto Chol HaMoed. Can't imagine. Every time I hear people who are makbid not to listen to music in Chol HaMoed, so I don't understand it. Why not? Forget. Chol HaMoed is days of Simcha. I can't imagine a Chazal. A Chazal, it's a minig. It's a minig. So we would not make a minig to begin a Avelus on Chol HaMoed. I don't see it. Good. So I want to wish everybody a Chag Kosher B'Sameach. And Meshabech everybody for maintaining the Seder and the learning. And that in itself is, I think, a very significant accomplishment. I think that if we reflect back on the last, on the Adar Zman, if we do Nirtz on the Adar Zman, so we have a lot to show for it. We came back after the break, and we finished up Kol Ravinei, and we finished up two or three important sugyas there, but then we opened up the sugya, the beginning of the Masechta, and we looked very carefully at certain aspects of Takonas Chazal, how Chazal make Takonas, and then the Sugya of Oynes, and the Sugya of Kinevon and Kedusha Minei, and in Oynes, we accomplished the certain conceptual Yisodos, both in Einonis Begitin, and in terms of how the Chemet HaShloimeh, and then the Birka Shmuel. So I think it was a very, very rich Zman. And with Hashem, we come back for the year's month, so we'll, for the June's month, so we'll, so we'll come back, so then we'll start Mitzvah Medev Test, and we'll do the Svek Sveika, and we'll have, I think, a chunk of time also to learn it seriously. So over the course of Yom Tov, I would again strongly advocate, in addition to Hilchos Chag B'Chag, to maintain at least 1 foot in Ksuvos, whether it's a little bit further, Chazara is always the best thing, and to Chazar Komlei Midravinei, to Chazar Nili Oynis as well. Maybe I will, hopefully I will be able to do so as well. Good, I'll be around, so after the show, I'll come back to the show.